of the things I found interesting in the address you just gave was this notion that in order to compete internationally, it's often important to have an overseas presence, that you don't have to do everything in Australia to compete from Australia. And we're seeing, as described in the report, more and more companies investing more and more overseas from Australia. Could you give us your thoughts on why it is that the volume of Australian ownership of overseas companies is going up so fast, and do you think that reflects, at least in part, a desire by Australian companies to learn by being in overseas markets directly?
Yeah, I think the answer is a combination of those things, and it will be different for company by company, but it seems to me the first driver is typically access to bigger markets and some of the fast-growing markets and the excitement of that. But I think as people learn from those markets and see the what is really, the relatively new phenomena of globalisation of supply chains, comes the understanding that to be part of global supply chains, you've got a far better prospect of being able to be part of those if you are in a number of countries. But I think the other thing, we talk about distance, I think the other tyranny for Australia is the small size of our domestic market. And so that not only constrains growth opportunities for companies, but it means that when you look at global supply chains, very few of them are driven out of Australia. They're driven out of China, they're driven out of the US, perhaps out of Europe, out of areas where there are big markets and big customers. So that for us, there aren't the obvious supply chains that we can join just because we happen to be in Australia. So expanding our linkages around the world, I think, is pretty important.
Grant Thorpe-Leichhardt. Graham, I hope this is not an unfair question, but we've had successes, but we've had some famous failures of companies that have tried to compete in Australia. Some of them have recovered and gone on to success. What do you think we learned from some of the failures, and do you think our track record of investing from Australia and running companies from Australia is any better or worse than those of other international groups who've had other starting points and invested abroad? Not every investment from abroad is ever successful.
Yeah, thanks, Philip. I think there's a couple of components to that. The first is I think we tend to beat up on ourselves a bit. We tend to look at the failures. In fact, there are an enormous number of Australian companies who've done very well and very successful outside Australia. I mean, News Corp would be probably the most obvious, a small afternoon newspaper in Adelaide to the global giant that it is today. But you look at Brambles, 85% of Brambles' product and markets are outside Australia. And you know, you take the top 50 companies in Australia outside the banking sector, and just about all of them have 40, 50%, perhaps more, of their production, or not necessarily their production, but their markets outside Australia. So I think actually, in total, we're pretty good at it. But then the element of your question, what do we learn from these failures? I think it's about, to me, it's about risk mitigation, because clearly there's less risk involved in if you've got the growth opportunity and investing for growth in Australia, a market you know, the culture you know, all of those things. And some of those things you don't even know you know. They're kind of inherent in your background knowledge. So the minute you go into different countries, even though they may seem similar customs and whatever. In fact, there's a lot of differences in the way business is run. So you really, I think, need to think about what are your risk mitigation strategies, which can be market research, and obviously that's important, product analysis and market segmentation. But even when you do all of that, you still can have some problems. I mentioned the water heater example in the US. There's a couple of major breweries here who I'm sure made very good quality beer in China, but found they couldn't distribute or the market wasn't big enough. So I think the BlueScope example, I think, is a terrific one of the small investment, don't bet the farm, but with a vertical integration strategy. Each company needs to think of its own, but it needs, I believe, to be cognizant of the risk in offshore markets, but also the huge opportunity, and make sure they do a lot of work before they put significant investments offshore.
Great. Ben Foskett from Invest Victoria. One of the clear changes in the Australian economy is the growth of the service sector, and Ben and I accounted more than 60% of the Australian economy in the services sector. Your remit today was to talk about manufacturing, but you also have very significant service sector experience. What do you see of the opportunity in this context for the service sector here?
Oh, I think there's enormous opportunity for the service sector, and I think from a bit of a distance that we've probably been, if we go back a while and think of the interrelationship between Australia and Colombo plan students in most of ASEAN countries, and many of those people went on to become senior bureaucrats, politicians. I think it took us a long time to take advantage of, not just in the services sector, but also in the manufacturing sector, to take advantage of those potential links. But there are clearly the opportunities which are, I think, now starting to be taken for us to leverage the fact that we have so many people out of Asia studying in Australia into expansion of our education services, our health services and the like. So I think there's big opportunity there. I suspect the lessons and the elements are not so much different from what I was talking about in manufacturing. You need to be innovative, you need to have a competitive advantage. But those sort of elements will also be in the mix, I think.
Thanks, Ben.